Well, as most of you know, the last couple of weeks I was gone, wasn't here. I was in Israel, and that was a great experience. It really helped me see things better. It opened my eyes as far as Bible study goes. I saw things that I wouldn't have seen before, and it was a great trip, a lot of fun. And I appreciate Scott for putting that together, because it was great. And I kind of want to share that with you tonight. I don't have long, you know, it's the semi-annual meeting tonight, so I don't have long. But I want to share some of the experiences that I went through. So you can call it my report on Israel. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about some of the things we did, and I'll give you three lessons, I guess, that I learned on the trip. And hopefully these are lessons that you can take home with you. So let's go ahead. Let's introduce the group. See if that pops up. Yeah. Okay. Starting from the left, that's me. Hello. That's me. The guy standing next to me, his name is Chris. Chris Hill. Great guy. He has a really great heart. Loves the Lord. You guys know Ben. He was here for our teen weekend. So that's Ben standing next to Chris. And that's Bill. You know, Bill came with us, so you guys know Bill. And let me tell you a little something about Bill. Bill can move, man. He can move. I'm telling you. He was like the first one in, and the first one, he was ready. He was moving. There was a point in the trip where we were coming home. This was, we were getting off like of a subway, and it was packed in the car that we were in, and we were all looking at Scott. Like, is this the stop? No, not this one. And the next stop, is this it? No, it's not this one. And finally, we're looking at him. This is the stop. All right, so we get off, and we're walking to the apartment where we're at. And I turn around, and I look at Scott. I was like, where's Bill? And he looks, like, I don't know. I was like, oh, great. We lost Bill. And I was like, man, his wife's going to kill us, you know? And we were worried because it took us a while to find him, 5 or 10 minutes. Because I was thinking, man, I hope he got off of that subway thing, whatever it was, above ground subway, whatever you call it. I was like, I hope he got off, because if he's still on that thing, it's going to be hard to find him. But eventually we found him. He went shopping because the next day was the Sabbath, you know, Shabbat. And in Jerusalem, pretty much everything closes, except for like in the Arab part, you know, you've got Arab fried chicken, AFC. You do. It's real. I didn't make that up. So yeah, but everything closes down. So he went to the market. He was buying bread and stuff to prepare for the Sabbath. So this is the group. This is us. So we started out at an airport. I had to put this picture in there because I love airports. I love planes. And that's the New York skyline in the background. Whenever we got to Israel, first place we stopped was the Valley of Elah. Okay, so you can see that in the background of Ben, the Valley of Elah there. We see the Valley of Elah in 1 Samuel. This is where the Philistines and the Israelites fought. The Israelites, they were in the Valley of Elah. That's where they were camped. And the Philistines, they were at Soko. Here's another picture of it. And you could see sort of the valley there. And I actually took a stone from there. Maybe that's where the brook was that David took his stone. Who knows? But I took a stone from there. I brought it home. The next picture, we see we went to a museum in Jerusalem. And in this museum, there were a lot of different things. We saw some of the fragments of the Dead Sea Scrolls. There was also this replica of, and that's what you're looking at, this replica of Jerusalem during Herod's time. It's a 1 to 50th scale replica, so it's sort of in scale, 1 to 50th scale. And we're looking at Herod's temple there. Just to the north of it, it's either the Pool of Bethesda or the Pool of Siloam. I don't remember exactly which one. We also stopped at the Dome of the Rock. So this is on the Temple Mount. Now, the Muslims, they sort of own the Temple Mount now, so that's a Muslim building. I don't know the relevance of it. I actually forgot. But that's the Dome of the Rock there. We also stopped by the Western Wall. This was a really holy place for the Jews. Since the Muslims do own the Temple Mount, this is considered, I guess, their most holy place, where they're closest to God. As a matter of fact, you probably can't see it, but there are people praying there at the wall. And the wall goes deep underground, and it goes a little bit further out. But that's the Western Wall, or the support wall. This was the wall that when Rome destroyed Israel, well, that wall stayed standing, that support wall there. We also visited, that is the gate, southern gate there. It's called the Hulda Gates. And that was very interesting because it's very likely. Now, if you guys can see the gates there, the arches there, it's actually sealed. Okay, so the gates are sealed there. But it's very likely that Jesus walked through those gates. So I thought that was very interesting to be walking, I guess, in the paths of Jesus there. That's Hezekiah's tunnel. There, Hezekiah's tunnel, I believe it's referenced in 2 Kings. He built this tunnel just so water would flow from the Gihon Spring to Siloam. And we actually walked through that. Now, that's not my picture. That's a stock picture because I didn't bring my phone in there. One, it was wet. Two, it was cold. I didn't feel like dropping my phone in wet and cold water. So I didn't bring my phone in there. But we, me, Ben, and Chris walked through that. It was cold. It got a little cramped at times. And it's pretty amazing how they got these tunnels to connect back during that time. So that's Hezekiah's tunnel. Again, we see that in 2 Kings chapter 20. Also, we saw some mikvahs. Saw a lot of mikvahs. I think I could do the whole thing on mikvahs because I took a lot of pictures on mikvahs. But that just shows, I guess, how important purity was to the Israelites. That's in the Garden of Gethsemane. I sort of took a picture over the plaque there. There's another where the focus has changed. Here in this picture, we see from the garden. That's from the vantage point of the garden. And we're looking at sort of the eastern wall. I had to orient myself a little bit there. We're looking at the eastern wall there, and it's really interesting. One of the guys that we were listening to said, you know, this is where the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was praying and where he would be betrayed into the hands of sinners. And Jesus says, you know, behold, the Son of Man being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Well, if all the people, the chief priest people, if they were coming from the temple and it's nighttime, well, look at that view there. Jesus could have seen them, right? Torches and everything. You couldn't miss them. And Jesus says, behold, here they come. I'm being betrayed into the hands of sinners. He had every opportunity to run, but he didn't. He still stayed. There's a sermon in that. Ben's actually preaching it. I think he preached it this morning back at Dowland Road. That's actually my sermon, so I'm still going to preach it here. All right. So, yeah, he still stayed. Jesus, he had ample view. He could see the people coming for him, but he still stayed. We also visited the room of the Last Supper, and we also visited King David's tomb. This is where they say David was buried here at this tomb. Interesting story behind this. There was a guy that we sort of met here at King David's tomb, and he said, he came up to me, he was like, are you religious? I was like, yeah, I'm religious. He's like, do you believe in God? I was like, yeah, believe in God. And he says, he like grabs my hand. He's like, all right, follow me. And we're moving. He grabbed me, and we're moving. And he takes me here. He's like, this is King David's tomb. He tells me some things about it. He grabs my hand again, and he puts it on top of the tomb. And he does that for me, Ben, Bill, and Chris. And we're all there, and I'm thinking, man, this is a really nice guy. He's showing us this stuff, telling us all this stuff. And once we're done, he's like, do you want to see something else? And we're like, yeah. He's like, all right, well, I need a donation. I was like, I said no. I was like, oh, no, I thought he was just being a nice guy. I was kind of offended. I was like, no. But Ben, he was like, yeah, I want to see something else. He's like, yeah, I'll show you Schindler's tomb. So Ben gave him a donation. And and Ben's like, where is it? He's like, it's over there. So we were looking for it. And Ben is asking people, hey, where's Schindler's tomb? And people are like, Schindler's tomb? And it took us, I don't know how long it took us, but it took us a little while to realize that guy hustled Ben because Schindler's tomb does not exist. So that's just an interesting story. I mean, I'm sure there's a Schindler somewhere, his tomb exists. But yeah, not in this context. This is the garden tomb. It sort of gave us an idea of what a rich person's tomb would look like at this time. I've got another picture from the inside vantage with most of us in there. Now, you can see Ben, Chris, and Bill there. And if you look really, really hard, you can sort of see Scott there. You could barely see, like, the edge of his face. He had a rule, though. His rule number one was, like, no pictures of him. So for the most part, I didn't put any pictures of him, but he's there in this picture. This here is the Jordan. This is one of the spots where they think Jesus might have been baptized. So that's the Jordan River. You see, this is the border of Jordan also. So on the other side, there are Jordanian troops. Now, I didn't go too far into the water because I saw this sign here. And if you look down that second part, it says, you are traversing a military zone. Do not cross fences due to fear of landmines. So, I did not cross any fences. Put it that way. that's a picture of the Qumran cave, you know, where they found the Qumran scrolls, Dead Sea Scrolls. And I was looking at that, and I was like, man, how did those kids get up there? That's the first thing I thought of. So that was cool. I really enjoyed taking a look at that. This is at En Gedi. En Gedi, we see that in 1 Samuel, around 1 Samuel 20, 1 Samuel 23. This is where David stayed, where he was fleeing Saul. Here are a couple more pictures of that. There's Chris and Ben, and I almost slipped at this part. I almost slipped a lot at En Gedi. Luckily, I didn't fall because we were hiking up. En Gedi goes pretty high, and we hiked up pretty high up there, and we saw some nice waterfalls. We also hiked up Masada. You know, if any of you have seen Masada and hiked up Masada, you know how tough that can be. Most people just take the cable car up. But Ben, Chris, and I, we walked all the way up, and that was tough. It took a little while. Here, we're at Caesarea Maritima, however you say it. Anyway, that's the amphitheater there. This is the Mediterranean. I just put a picture up there to show you how clear the water is. We don't see that too often here in Southeast Texas. But the water is very clear, also very cold. And that's sort of what Herod did to Caesarea. He used sort of the natural land to create a harbor. You know, he was a smart guy as far as building things. You know, he built the Jews called the Second Temple. I think probably more better to be called the Third Temple. But, yeah, he built the, you know, that was his idea there. This is Capernaum, Capernaum. They say that building there to the top right of the screen, there's this big building, and they say under that building, that's Peter's house. So that's what some of the people say there. And that's, I guess that's sort of, nope, one more. There's the Sea of Galilee. Interesting story from the Sea of Galilee. We went to the Sea of Galilee. It was 50 degrees or so outside, and Ben was like, so are we jumping in? I was like, I mean, I guess if you guys jump in, I have to jump in. So that water was cold. We all jumped in, and I didn't stay in there long, and I did not get back in. But, yeah, we jumped off the boat. We were on a boat. Guy named David, he's a good guy. And we jumped off his boat and got back in, and yeah, it got really cold. But, yeah, we jumped into the Sea of Galilee. Now, that was essentially the trip. I left a lot out because I don't have a whole bunch of time. But I also want to spend a little time just giving you some lessons that I learned on this trip. You know, I can't just, I guess, give you an itinerary. Learned that in Bible class this morning. Yeah. Can't just give you the itinerary, right? Just give you some lessons that I learned. First of all, these things happened. First lesson that I took back with me. These things happened. You know, a lot of people, whenever they think of the Bible, especially atheists, they just think of it as like a big fairy tale, a comic book, fiction, right? Not real. One of the things I learned from this trip is that these things indeed happen. When 2 Kings 25 talks about Nebuchadnezzar destroying Jerusalem and wiping out the temple, that's not a made-up story. It happened, and we see the evidence. We see the archaeological history behind that. We see that it happened. 2 Kings 20, whenever it talks about the tunnel that King Hezekiah built, that's not just some fairy tale. Well, we saw it. We were there. Ben, Chris, and I, we walked through it. We see the evidence. It happened. And Mark 13 talks about the destruction of Jerusalem. That just wasn't some made-up story, right? It happened. We see the evidence, the archaeological evidence behind it. So if one of the first lesson that I learned, or one of the things that I learned, is that these things happen. Second, history is important. You know, there are some religions that make great claims about great people doing these great actions in this great land. But there's no evidence for it. There's no archaeological history behind it. Whenever they talk about all of these cities, well, they don't exist. When they talk about all these people who inhabited these cities, there's no evidence for it. Well, that's not so with us. When the Bible talks about the Valley of Elah, or the Kidron Valley, we don't have to wonder if those places exist. The history is there. We can dig it out. As a matter of fact, one of our tour guides said, you know, wherever you dig in Israel, you're going to find something. The history is there. And because of all this, because of the fact that these things happened, and the fact that we can say these places exist, that just strengthens my faith. And that tells me one thing. It means I got to teach others. I've got to teach others. And that leads me, to the third lesson I learned, and that is people want to talk. You know, sometimes we're so afraid of, is that person going to shove me off? Is he going to want to listen? No, people want to talk, and that's one of the lessons that I learned. You know, we met a lot of people on the trip. That is me, Bill, Chris, and Ben, you know those guys. That's Yitzi and his wife standing next to us. And there's our tour guide on the very end. Her name is Shira, and she was a good tour guide. The next picture, these are two guys that Ben and I met at wherever this place. Where was this place, Scott? You can tell me later. But we met these guys. They were nice guys. They wanted us to take a picture of them. And we're like, hey, take a picture of us. And we talked to them a little bit. This is Anita. She's Catholic. And we talked to her about some of Abraham's promises, right? So we went through the Bible story with her. Because these were things that she didn't know. She told us. She said she didn't pay much attention in Bible class. So we talked with her about stuff like that. This is Moses. Met him at the Jordan River. He's a nice guy. And we talked with him a little bit. And there's David on his boat. I think his name is David, if I'm remembering correctly. David, yes, okay, it is David. And, you know, he sailed out with us on the Sea of Galilee. And these were all really good people. And really, we met more people than just this. We met people from all over the world, people who asked us questions, people who answered our questions. And my point in saying all this is there really is a door open for us to teach the gospel to others. We just got to walk through it. People want to talk. And that's another lesson that I learned on the trip to Israel. Matthew 9, verse 37, Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There are people out there who want to know the truth, who have questions. You just got to go out and talk to them. And one more thing. The cat. Yeah, I almost forgot about the cat. There are cats everywhere in Israel. Everywhere. Like, I almost got a picture of, like, six cats with one guy. He was, like, shooing them all away, so I only got three of them. But, yeah, the cat. So, I guess sort of in conclusion, it was just a great trip. You know, my faith grew. My faith has been strengthened because of this new perspective that I gained going to Israel. You know, I believe that the Bible is true. I believe that it's the Word of God. And now that's even more cemented. You know, I hope that the same is true of you. I hope that you believe the Bible is true and that it is the Word of God. In conclusion, I'm going to, I guess, give the typical conclusion that Jeff talked about this morning. Maybe there's someone here today who does believe that the Bible is true, does believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and you want to be born again into God's kingdom, as Jeff put it this morning. You want to be born into God's kingdom. If you want to do that, don't wait. You can do that tonight. Or maybe there's someone who's been living their life in sin. Maybe there's someone who's sort of been walking the way of the world. Can I encourage you to come back to the Lord? We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you if you need. That's what Jeff likes to say. I like that. But it's true. We'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Whatever you need, you can do that now as we stand and as we sing.